KO4NUE. 4DTY, KO4NUE. NUE, no contact, I'm clear.
4NUE, KO4PXB.
Mr. Lord, how are you?
So I said, not moving at all on Highway 14 here, so, and I heard you had a question. You have the 991 Alpha radio, correct? Multiple antennas set up on it, because that's the one I'm looking to purchase. Do you have the 2-meter antenna set up on it and a high frequency, or just the one for the 2 and 70 centimeter?
Check of the radio, you have a 2-meter 70 centimeter SO239, and that goes into your 2-meter 70 centimeter antenna. So that line coming out of the back of the radio goes into a switch, a RF switch, and I have a 2-meter beam and a slim jim, but the 2-meter beam's broken right now. It's kind of stuck in the bad position, but I've been using the slim jim, and so what I'm getting at is I've got a switch on that one connector on the back of the radio that lets me switch in between two antennas, but like I said, I can't use but one right now. Let me let my radio drop. The other side of the radio is the 50 megahertz side, which is the HF side. So I have an antenna plugged into it, but the antenna I've got plugged into it is a fan dipole, so it's two different bands on the fan dipole. So I hope that's clear as mud, right?
Not all that, and you have the that 30 amp that provides the power to it, also correct?
Correct. From my experience, you'll need it. Even though the power supply says 30 amps, I think that's a little boastful. But it is. It's get it higher than you need. Is what I'm saying.
Do you have a separate cooling fan on it, or is it pretty much stays cool enough by itself?
Fan in the radio that handles everything I need. I've used the radio quite a bit as far as keeping the PTT engaged, and I've never felt the radio hot at all. It's stays nice and cool. Over.
I was looking on the DX engineering site to get pricing and the stuff, and I remember you said that's the radio you have, and because I'm looking to upgrade my license, so I want to go ahead and get something that's comparable to everything that I'm stepping up to instead of having to buy radios over and over that will definitely get expensive.
Me and Anna, we went through that from the get-go. We added up, all the radios that we thought we might need, and I'm not into buying used stuff. I just can't do it. I know some people disagree with that, but at any rate, you start adding all that up. It's just about, it comes out about the same, I guess. When we, get it all in one radio, and I've got no complaints with the radio. I've used ICOMs a couple of times. I just don't care for them. I think they're great radios, and I don't want to say anything negative about them. I personally just don't like them. But the Yaesu is all I own, and they do more than enough. Over.
Repeat PXB. I appreciate it. Are you using standard mic, or do you get a separate one also?
Standard mic. I suppose I probably should get one with, you know, DTMF pad on it. But I don't need it. I've got my little base station mobile in the house, and it's got a DTMF pad on it, so that's what I use if I need DTMF functions. But the Yaesu 2 meters, 70 centimeters, all the bands, plus any kind of digital mode, it's fabulous. I mean, just fabulous.
And I watched the YouTube information about it. I was definitely impressed with all the functions and how much it can actually kind of tailor to what you wanted to do instead of just being stuck.
One thing I will tell you that I do, that is kind of a drag with the radio for me, is that I do a lot of packet kind of, you know, Winlink and some other digital modes with the radio. And if I want to switch between FM packet and HF packet, you know, it takes me about 3 minutes to change the radio over, which it's not that bad. It's just you have to remember to do that. And with the ICOM, you can set up a separate menu just for that. So with the ICOM, once you get everything set up, you can hit one button and you can be in digital mode. With the Yaesu, I can't quite do that. I have to manipulate the settings. But it's only 3 settings, and it takes me a little bit. But other than that, that's the only complaint I would say I have about radio. That's really a complaint, even. It's just, you know, you know what I mean. I'm not sure what it is. Over.
Have to adapt to if you want to talk on that. But I would have to upgrade my license to even go that route, correct?
Negative. My suggestion to you is, because the radios are hard to come by, I got two other friends that are trying to get their hands on one, and from what they're telling me, I haven't verified this myself, but that they're out of stock. So my suggestion to you is, if that's a decision you've made, then go ahead and order the radio and then move into your general ticket. But no, you do not need a general license to purchase the radio, nor do you need a general license to operate the radio. As a technician, you can use a portion of the 10-meter band on the HF side. Of course, both the 2-meter and 70-centimeter with it, too.
That's what I'll definitely look into doing that more tomorrow. Like I said, yeah, I'm looking into definitely getting one and go ahead and start making that investment, because this weekend I'm going to sit there and try my hand at the converting a satellite radio that I bought for $15 to test it on, and then I'm going to do the one on the house to make a frequency, the antenna out of it, because that's HOA compliant, and they won't know the difference.
I take the L&B out, and put you, just wondering how you're going to do that, in the middle of the reflector, is that correct?
It up on YouTube, or you just cut lines in there and put the white cabling in there and get a diplexer that will allow the UHF and VHF to come in, and then you just put it into the back of the radio.
Okay. I guess the first question I got, do you have an SWR meter?
A gentleman, KO4NUE, that wouldn't let me borrow one.
Right. My suggestion to you would be build away. But before you put it to the back of that radio and key that mic, you're going to want to know what that number is, because you probably do a lot of damage pretty quick if you're not careful.
Alex, I'll definitely look into doing that before. I wouldn't want to burn up your stuff or any other, especially that radio, when seeing the cost of them, because you're right, they're not cheap.
Go ahead, comment.
CTW, hey, Chad. I just want to tell you, I've built several antennas, and the best $25 or so I ever spent was a Nano VNA.
I actually have one, but it sometimes it works and it doesn't. I think it's been wet. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating, because I'm just not a computer guy. I struggle with menus and things like that. I really do. But I can do, I'm sure it is great, and I'm glad you love it. I bought an antenna analyzer, and I can use, I have started to learn a little bit about the impedance side of it. But primarily using them for SWR readings now, because I don't have all of my feed lines are coax, so I don't have a mismatch I need to deal with. But I know that I'm paying a price for that, but until I can learn it so that I'm not damaging something, then that's what I'm having to do now. So, as the smarter I get with an antenna, the different form it takes. So right now it's just do what I got to do to get out,
Not in too much, but I thought I would say that I've had good success with it, and part of the reason I ended up getting it was I kind of was worried about messing up my antennas as well, and I like the fact that it sends out its own signal, and I didn't have to send signal out from the radio when I was worried about potential high SWR. But I'll let y'all get back to it. I just wanted to drop that in for you.
I did the QSO, bud, and I heard the squawk in the background. You up on APRS? Over.
Okay, and 4CHY. That sounds more like a Motorola MDC.
That's understood then. How you doing, Keith?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm excited. I am. My wife is, she's going to go out to dinner with some of her college friends tonight. And I am going to sneak up to Hendersonville and eat at my favorite restaurant tonight. So I am probably, as you say, going to get in trouble again.
For that, where are you headed to eat at?
Right there off of Main Street in Hendersonville.
You on the road up there now?
I'm going to get cleaned up first. I've been up at deer camp today, so I'm going to swing home, get cleaned up, and then sneak on out, so we'll see. We'll see how that probably goes.
Dad, be careful and enjoy yourself. I'm sure you will. And Lloyd, you still in there? Go ahead and take it.
Go for it, PXB. I'm still here. Chad, just when you get back to the house, don't look for the honeydews, because if he's going out, there's probably a list somewhere. So just play stupid and just keep getting ready and go to dinner.
I don't get honeydew lists. She learned years ago, you can't, don't give it on a piece of paper. That doesn't work. She keeps the list in her head, and then when she wants it done, then it's hands on the hips. Hey, what you gonna do about that step I out there. That step don't bother me. But that's when I have to, you know, go and do. So I don't do scraps of paper.
Before PXB, also giving you recommendation if you're ever wanting to try good food going down toward Abbeville and Greenwood area, check out a place called Yoder's. You'll be so impressed with it and enjoy the food, I would hope.
I have eaten there. It is good food, over.
Comment?
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, sorry, fellas, but they closed Yoder's up. It ain't open no more.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
In there too, really good food, but I guess the COVID epidemic or pandemic or whatever kind of did them in.
Yeah, Roger that. But whoever's next, pick it up.
CHY, yeah, I just got done with work a little while ago and just sitting here chilling out and listening to y'all carry on over.
4NUEs, yeah, so I came up this morning and gonna take care of a couple of things up here and make sure everything's good to go. And so, well, I'll just get the bunk, let's get the cot out and take a rest up at deer camp tonight. And then I got to thinking she's gonna go with her college friends for out to eat. So I think I might just sneak on up. So, I'm kind of excited.
We're NUE KO4PXB. You know, if I need to go ahead and just kind of start go by the bank and get some bail money for you.
You'd bail me out. That wouldn't be a problem. The problem is I don't think I would let her. Because... I believe I'd rather stay in the jail if she's mad at me.
They probably feel the same way, going, nah, it's okay, officer. I'll just stay right here, just, you know, and then I'll find my way back home later on.
And who? Never heard of her. Sorry.
My favorite. I don't want y'all to think I'd say anything bad, because I'm not. She knows I pick at her. If I don't pick at her, I don't love her. She knows that. So, my favorite is, I got a question for you. And the next thing out of my mouth is, how many questions you got up there? Because I know that the questions are going to turn into a statement, and the statement usually means something's broke.
Maybe I got a question for you, or, hey, come look at something. Means you've got something to do in your not-too-distant future.
Just like that funny statement a lady made to her husband. She goes and says, honey, I think there's water in the engine. He goes, well, what do you know about cars? And how do you know there's water in the engine? She said, well, it's at the bottom of the lake.
Lord, that wasn't really funny, buddy. I'm sorry.
Jump out of here, guys, and look at doing some dinner of some sort. Probably not going to drive very far, especially not to Hendersonville, but I think what we can rustle up around here and take care of this growling stomach. Y'all have a good evening, and we'll catch you a little later. K4CHY, I'll be clear up y'all.
You have a good night, sir. Be safe. K4NUE, still here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think y'all were talking a little while ago about, you know, where all the technician could talk. Yeah, there's that 28.3 to 28.5, and then 2 meter 440, and then there's also 6 meter and 220, and there might be some other, but the thing with the 6 meter and the 220 is, you know, there's just not a lot of activity there.
Data. Hi, 10 meters the other day and talked with a young man that's frequents the net quite often, and we talked for about an hour or so on 10 meters. And he was, I mean, he's having a ball. You can tell he's just tickled to death to be off that repeater. But he's just talking away, and we just, you know, I mean, we stayed about an hour probably, I guess.
What frequency y'all on? I'll get in there and dial mine up tonight and see if I hear you.
To 28.3 to 28.5, and we stayed three off of the left and three off of the right. In between there, I can't, we just try to find something open, and we just usually just end up, you know, meeting up somewhere. But that's usually how it takes place. I don't think we really have a set one. We just, I've got a waterfall on mine, so he'll move on wherever he wants, and I'll just kind of watch the waterfall for a little bit. When he makes a CQ, I usually just move to him over.
Yeah, my Yazoo's got that, so okie doke. Well, I'll see if I hear y'all sometime. But y'all pick it back up. I'll be listening. KF4NXY.
Have a good day. Appreciate the QSO. Lloyd, you still in there? You still in the parking lot? For NUE Mobile.
For YQK Mobile, over the fence.
For ULP, Marjorie.
For ULP. KO4NUE. What's going on, young man? How are you today?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good. On the way home, gonna sneak up to Hendersonville tonight, eat at my favorite restaurant, and, you know. How about you? What'd you do today?
Well, and then we went up this afternoon for some sports, and by the way, where's your favorite restaurant in Hendersonville?
Cafe.
Is it downtown or kind of on the outskirts or what?
Off Main Street, I think. Yeah, it'd be downtown, I guess, but not in the... It's the older side, you know.
I'm fairly familiar with downtown. I've been down there a few times over by the courthouse, but, you know, I was just curious what restaurant is. Never remember seeing it, but you know, I might have walked by it a few times and never just noticed the sign.
Yeah, roger that. Well, what you got planned for the weekend? You gonna do anything fun?
So I think just pretty much you can probably just, you know, sit at home and just enjoy the break.
I hear you. You must be a busy week at school.
Yesterday was, the busiest, but we went to a home school, like an enrichment thing that a school offers, to try that out. And then from that we went to piano, and then, you know, from piano we went home, and then from home we had to drive back up to Harrisonville for something else.
Started that. Well, we homeschooled our kids. We had three, and we homeschooled them till they got up to, may have been junior high, I think. And I've taught a few classes myself. What do you think about that?
You're in charge of
the kind of life skills classes. My wife did all of the English and language and math and, you know, things that the kids had to test for. But I did all the life skills. So one day we had not a field day, but we built some model rockets. And with that, we, you know, I got to teach, you know, some new words. Apogee, I think if I remember that's how you pronounce it, which is, you know, the highest portion of the rocket when it gets to its highest peak in its travel. How about that? As some other words in there, I can't quite remember, I guess, that we kind of introduced, but they were just so young at the time, they didn't care. All they wanted to do was go out and, you know, hit the button so they could watch the rocket fly through the air. So we had a lot of fun with that. And one year, let me tell you this, let me let my radio drop, down to Clarksville Military Reservation down on Lake Strong Thurmond. And we were studying Native American Indians, and they were fairly young, I guess. And they were making some spears there at the campsite, and, you know, campfire and that kind of thing. So Anna, my wife, went into town there in Plum Branch, McCormick. There was an antique store in there that sold broken arrowheads. It was like $9 for a whole bag of them, you know. He bought the whole bag, and we spread those things out all over those trails back there at Clarksville, and a couple of them around the campsite. And we got up one morning and said, okay, well, you know, you got your spears and all, so we're gonna go find some arrowheads. And, you know, arrowheads are kind of hard to find. But we went on our little walk, and my kids picked up just about every one of those $9 worth of broken arrowheads up, and, you know, they thought they were left there by Indians. But and we've never told them. They don't know any difference. My son he's got his in a little collection case. He got married last month. I reckon I might ought to tell him. But he you know, it's just, that's his pride and joy. But we just ain't got the heart to tell him we bought them at the antique store in Plum Branch.
So, that's pretty amusing that he still has the whole collection case of the arrowheads.
I know. Sometimes as a parent, you gotta do what you gotta do, especially, you know, homeschooling too. Because, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. We learned real quick, you know, as a parent, when you're homeschooling, that now you're responsible for making sure that your child's education meets the state standard. And, you know, we took that pretty serious with the kids. But I had a lot of fun with it, too, you know. A lot of fun.
Comment, KO4PX, please. Chad, please tell Patrick your substitute teacher story. He'll enjoy it.
About when I got fired. Patrick or Andrew? I mean, Alexander.
Alexander, sorry about that.
Alexander, when I graduated high school, I went basic training in AIT, came back, and decided I was going to get some college, you know, go to college. And in between, you know, when you go into school, you know, college, you kind of really don't have a job. You don't have any income, so things are kind of tough, you know. You just have to kind of do what you got to do because priority is school. And so I decided I'd go get me a job as a substitute school teacher there in District 1. And got hired and fired in the same day. It wasn't exactly my cup of tea. Matter of fact, I didn't even make it the whole day.
Was it teaching or what? What I was saying is, you got fired in the same day for what?
They left an umbrella in there, or there's an umbrella in the classroom, and I couldn't get the students, the kids, to do what the teacher wanted them. And the teacher left a note, things they had to get accomplished, and I was trying to make sure that happened. And they just wasn't listening. They wasn't doing, you know, wasn't working fast enough. So, you know, I grabbed the umbrella and, well, it just kind of went downhill from there. Let me just leave it that.
I'll just share a little bit of story that, I don't know, how a similar experience, but coming over for that homeschool in Richmond that one day, they had the upper grades go over and read with, you know, like the first and second kindergarten kids. And I think I was getting one of the most, probably one of the most disobedient ones there. And here's a handful. We were supposed to do some math and reading. So the math got into the puddle because of him. And then he'd jump up and run around. And then another girl and boy came, older girl and boy came to read. And at the other picnic table, we were outside. And he would, like, read a page. And then he'd say, "I'm done," and go up and run around like a wild or a madman. And, him and the other boy got a little squabble, and then eventually the other girl finally went and got the teacher, and then, I pretty much lost my job of trying to teach him how to read, which I was kind of grateful because I wasn't getting anywhere.
Comment.
Hey, go ahead, comment.
Skunked out school fights, Alexander. It's KO4WWZ.
I didn't quite get what you said there. Could you try again, please?
In school now.
Another, or like two first and second graders, that was, or one of them I was supposed to watch and help read with, and he got in the squabble with the other one, and yeah.
I jumped in and say hello for a second. KO4WWZ clear.
You have a good rest of the evening, Chandler. I'm there.
Alexander, KO4NUE, I got distracted, but had to turn my radio down for a second. What did I miss?
Did you get to hear the little story that I shared or not?
I did not. Let's see, you're talking about the, when you lost your job trying to teach the young man how to read, that one?
Kind of like that, except it wasn't really a job. It was more of, he was too overactive for me to keep control of, so the teacher took over.
That's okay, right? I mean, it kind of freed you up a little bit, didn't it?
The only way I could cooperate is to threaten him with getting his teacher.
Understand the concept of the umbrella then, right?
I do.
Anyway, so tell me, what is one of the funniest? Tell me a funny story about being homeschooled. You got anything funny?
I think I'm not. Nothing's really popping out at me right now. We normally just try, you know, to try to get our work done and work kind of with that, but I don't think we've had any too funny experiences that I'm remembering right this moment.
I'll tell you a funny story then. So, my wife was teaching magnetism. We had a bunch of magnets and, you know, what a magnet does and blah, 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 and all that, you know, how it worked, north and south poles and all that. So she went and bought this little tube of BBs. It goes in a BB gun. And she, you know, was talking about, you know, uses of magnets. What are some important uses of magnets? So she poured that whole tube of BBs out on the floor. And her plan was to take the magnet and pick the BBs up with it. But there was aluminum copper-coated BBs, and it didn't work out too good. So the kids just thought that was so funny.
Easy way of cleaning up BBs didn't turn out so easy after all.
Right. I guess you just had to be there, but boy, it sure was funny.
I guess, yeah, that is pretty amusing to try to clean up all those, have a plan of dumping and then, you know, not clean, well, yeah.
WWZ, you still in there, bud?
Okay, well, we'll pick him up later. So, let's see, another funny story about my kids. My daughter was born on Valentine's Day. So her birthday is real easy to remember. I don't do good with birthdays, remembering them. But that one I can remember, you know. So we made her a chocolate cake for Valentine's Day and her birthday at the same time, and had it laying up on the kitchen table, going, you know, surprise her. So we went outside to get her and come back in for the cake to have the surprise party. And I have a dog in the house. His name's KC, and he's a big old golden. He's probably 90 pounds, big old boy. And that little rascal snuck up there on that table, well, stood flat-footed and stuck his head over the table and had just about all of the cake eaten by the time we come into the house. And I wish you could see the look on my wife's face, with chocolate all over his nose.
Well, I guess that'd be a birthday spoiler, but I bet the dog got the, well, if he still turned out, well, at the moment, I bet he thought that was the best birthday present or other person's birthday present that he could get, but with that much chocolate, did he get sick after?
We watched for a little bit, but the funny part about it was not the funny part was when he ate the cake. The funny part was when he got scolded. She was steady, just pointing that finger and just scolding at him. And he's got, you know, he's holding his head down, looking at you with these eyes like, I know I did wrong, but I just couldn't help it, that kind of thing, you know. And she is mad and steady just fussing at him. And he's steady, and that old tongue just comes out of that mouth and just goes all the way around his mouth. She'd fuss a little bit, and he'd stick that tongue out again. So he didn't care. He had his chocolate cake, and he was gonna take what was coming. But he'd lick that chocolate off all the way around his lips. And I'd sit back there just laughing.
It's a better end of the deal, but anyway, I guess I've kind of found a kind of funny homeschool story. It kind of happened recently. I don't know how much homeschooly it is, but we have a little, well, electric dirt bike, and it was broken. And so me and Nicholas decided, okay, we're going to tackle this job and see if we can fix it up. So we take it apart, and we get it all opened up, and I'm checking with my voltmeter to see where I have current, and kind of let me explain. Actually, I'm going to kind of make this into a riddle. So I'm going to explain what was happening. I'll let you guys see if you can figure out what's the matter. So the dirt bike would not turn on. But when you plug it into the power and then push the on switch, it turns on. But when it's plugged in, the motor won't work and it won't turn the wheel. That happens when it's working and not working. But anyway, that was happening now. I had the current coming through the cable. So my connection wasn't the problem. Now, do you have any guesses of what would be it?
Just hang on just a minute now. Let me get the facts here. So it's an electric bike. Is that correct?
Nope.
Okay. All right, second question. Well, first of all, how many questions do I get?
It's as many as you need.
Oh, well, that's gracious of you. I appreciate that. Okay, so second question is, all right, it's an electric dirt bike, and it won't work when it's unplugged from the wall power. Am I correct? When it's plugged into the wall. Am I correct?
That's on, but one more thing, it won't charge.
Oh, see. Okay. KO4NUE and KO4ULP. So, yeah, I would say probably the battery was bad. Am I right?
Am I wrong? The batteries were replaced not too long before that.
All right, well, I'm glad you told me that. So, all right, so new batteries. And, I don't know, bud, you got me. What was it?
We replaced the control head with the electric quad. Well, we had an electric quad that broke too, so we switched out the control heads. Control head wasn't the matter. Okay, it was a blown fuse, and we spent about maybe 3 hours trying to figure out a blown fuse.
Okay, all right. Well, did you figure out what blew the fuse?
Oh, I'm not really too worried about it, but so far it's been working, so as long as it stays that way, I'm not really... Well, the fuse is kind of where it comes in from the power, so I'm guessing maybe a surge of power from the wall maybe blew the fuse. That'd be my best guess, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, well, I've had fuses throw me for a loop, too. That some of them can be kind of hard to find. You know, this truck I got here, it's got a big fuse block out up underneath the hood. And then you open the driver's door and pull the panel off the kick panel here. And there's a fuse panel over here. And then over there under the passenger's thingy bob over there, there's another fuse panel over there. So the thing's got about 90 fuses in it. And, it's those little bitty ones, too. And my eyes are getting where I can't see too good no more, or as good as I used to could. And it's a hassle. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's difficult.
It's kind of different in my story is that I think it has three fuses, and the way they're designed, you can, if you know what you're looking for, the place that holds the fuse, if you know what you're looking for, you can see if the fuse is blown or not. And we didn't catch on to that at all, so I popped a new fuse in there, and it worked, you know, like new. But, kind of what got me is that, next time I know what I'm looking for, if it happens again, you know, kind of what it looks like when it's blown, because it looks different from when it's not blown.
ULP KO4NUE. So, let's see, funny fuse stories. I got one. I got a couple of them, but I'll share this one with you. So, I had an old, 68 Ford Ranger in high school. Mom and Dad bought it for me when I got my driver's license. And it had those old glass fuses in them, you know, got metal on one end and then a glass tube and metal on the other. And the turn signal kept blowing the fuse. And I somehow or another cracked the fuse, the glass cage on it, and was trying to stick my hand under there and dig the thing out and cracked it. It cut my finger. It cut the end of my finger. And this big old flap of skin just laid over, you know. And I learned right then, I'd be really careful. I'm really careful with glass fuses because they'll cut you, you know, if you're not careful. Not really funny, but just a story over.
Interesting, because my 2-meter radio, one that I'm using right now, my base station, it works off of glass fuses, even though, you know, it's like, it's new, it's not an old radio, it still has to get glass fuses, though.
Yep, roger that. I also had a Volkswagen one time, and it had some funny looking fuses in it. It was like a little plastic tube, and, had two metal connectors on the end of it and had a strip of metal that ran in between the two connectors as a fuse. But let's see, another fuse story. What's the biggest fuse you've ever seen?
It's the drive with the Volkswagen. Actually, it sounds more like the fuse that I have in my radio, but the biggest fuse, well, I haven't seen too many fuses, so, I would say the one that I have it right here that I pulled out from the dirt bike and replaced it is maybe about, I'm not very good at giving measurement estimates, but it may be about an inch tall and like an inch wide, so, and maybe about centimeter or less thick, but I don't know if that's like a general smaller big fuse, but then, you know, my radio fuses are a fairly good size. They're round, and they're maybe about 2 inches across.
I see. Well, that's about right for me. I think my grandmother had an old fuse panel in her house that had the old screw-in glass fuses. They're round, about the size of a 50-cent piece, and you screwed it into the socket there, and it made connection to keep the, you know, keep voltage on the house and all. But I don't know, about every year she'd blow one. I'd turn the oven on and it'd pop one, so she'd have to keep the. She finally figured out that when she turned the oven on, she had to turn the lights off in another room, and that kept it from blowing the fuse. But I tell you what, things come a long way with electronics since, I guess, when I grew up. My grandmother, great-grandmother and grandfather, I don't remember much, but I do remember their light switches in the house. The light switches had the wire. All the wiring in the house was outside of the wall, and it was stapled to the wall with these little big, you know, horseshoe staple things. The KO4-ULP, and it had a light switch that had two round buttons on it. One was white. You push the white button and the lights came on, and then you push the black button and the lights went off. And I just remember, I thought that was really neat. You know, I'd sit there and on off, on off, on off, because it made this really clicky noise when you pushed it. And old granddaddy just fuss and fuss and fuss at me.
Yeah, that's pretty, I can see why that probably, you know, over time, on and off, would probably not be good for the light bulbs either, but, that kind of reminds me of another, I don't know, kind of funny story, maybe about more grandfather's fussing is, there's no dancing with electricity, but, you know that, those metal door stoppers that kind of are like a spring and like mounted in the wall and, you know, kind of what I'm talking about or not?
It keeps the doorknob from going through the sheetrock, and when you pull on them and release them, they make that funny looking, that funny noise.
So that's what I'm talking about. So my grandfather had those in his house. Me and my brother were younger, we go around and we flick them, and he wouldn't be too happy with us, you know, like always flicking the door stoppers. I mean, that's one of our favorite, I think, one of the things that we really like to do is flick the door stoppers.
Great-grandfather, he was a very gentle man. He was stern, but from what I remember of him, I don't remember too much. But what I do remember was one of my favorite memories with him is that he had old freestanding coal potbelly stove in the home place, in the living room. And he had a wicker rocking chair. And when I'd come and visit with him, I'd run in through the door and run straight to his lap. And he'd sit in that rocking chair, and I'd sit up in his lap, and he'd just talk and talk and talk to me. And we'd go, "What'd you do today?" Blah, blah, blah. And then after about five or so minutes, he'd make me wait. He kept some Brock's candy. These big droplet things, the chocolate mint, and in a wax wrapper, and had Brachs, B-R-A-C-H-S, on, written on it. And he'd asked me, you want a piece of candy? And I always tell him, yeah. And he said, okay, well, you know, you gotta do the thing if you want a piece of candy. So he'd wrap his arm around me so I couldn't move my arms, and that man would tickle me to death. He would tickle me. He'd tickle me so hard, and then when I got to where I couldn't breathe, he'd let me up, and he'd go back there and get me a piece of Brock's candy. So that was one of my fondest memories with my grandfather. Oh, me. Oh, the times. Where does it go?
Pretty interesting. So I guess he had to have his fun with you before he would treat you to some candy.
It's the way granddaddies are, I guess. You know, I guess they've earned it. But, you know, my son just got married, so I'm hoping I'm going to have a grandchild. And, you know, next year or so, I hope. And I'm going to do the same thing to him. I'm going to keep me some candy up the counter. And when they come to see me, I'm just going to tickle them to death. And then I'll give them a piece of candy.
I guess you've learned well.
And I'm 50 now. And, I mean, I remember that from when I was a wee bitty thing. So, I think I'll pass that on to my grandkids. But anyway, well, Alexander, I have enjoyed the conversation, young man, always. And just want to say, hey, we're very proud of you for your accomplishments on with your radio. And I'm going to say, hey, 73s, and you have a nice evening. This is KO4NUE, and I'll be clear on your final.
You have a good evening, good rest of your evening, 7:30. I enjoy the QSO, and this is KO4ULP, and I'll be clear.
KO4NUE, KO4WWC. KO4NUE, KO4WWC.
WWZ, KI4LZI Mobile.
Candy, how you doing?
This you having a 2 meter straight net, you and Chad?
No, not yet. I am currently mobile. I'm coming to my house that my dad had left me through some other family members before he died. Trying to get it. She always cleaned up and stuff. And, you know, it's in bad shape. It's in really bad shape. But I'm heading back to the house now, and I should be hooked up to my base station very soon. Nah, we ain't got it fixed completely yet, no sir.
Oh no, I just heard you there, and I wasn't really on yet to know. Believe it or not, as things stand now, you're doing better on mobile than you do on your fixed station on 2 meters, so there's definitely something wrong with something.
How's my signal on the mobile?
Sound real good here, mobile. A lot better than you do a lot of times there on your fixed station.
I'm fighting.
Told you was.
The news now, so that may have something to do with it. Got my windows rolled down.
Keep on working, and like you said, try another 2 meter radio on that, and it might just be in that particular Yaesu 2 meter radio, possibly, because sometimes one radio might have a problem and another one might not.
That, we did try and hook up my older Motorola VHF radio, and it actually sounded a lot worse, over.
If it's not that, there's something in the system there. either coaxial cable or the antenna, and it's not doing good on 2 meters for some reason.